O'Hero Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hero Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hero Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hero Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
For garage doors, call 319-0327, the Overhead Door Company.
Twitter.
Tweeting.
Stay up to date with the most in-depth coverage of your favorite teams. Follow Sports Talk Florida on Twitter at Sports Talk FLA and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1040, The Team, powered by NBC Sports. You're listening to Sports Talk 1040, The Team, powered by NBC Sports.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And we're back, another week of Fish Talk Radio on Sports Talk 1040. The team, Neil Taylor with Strike 3 Kayak Fishing, and my right-hand man for the past 4 months now.
I know, it's been a pretty good run here, Neil.
Captain Travis Yackel in the studio almost every week.
We're here, man.
I had a couple weeks off. I basically had 2 weeks. There was so much going on. The fellas just covered for me, so I took a little break and kept doing my stuff, kept getting stuff done, sweating the whole time.
It's been hot. It's been real hot.
It's been like July. You can expect July to be like this. It has been dismal.
It's one of those times where, you know, here in 4 or 5 months we'll be going, man, we just can't wait for it to warm up a little. but right now we're in the heat of things, guys. It is hot. So biggest thing is just be prepared for it. You know it's coming. You know it's going to be hot.
I finally hit a day where it was summertime fishing. The fishing for me had been great. And then about 4 days ago, we had a day that was tough. And a guy battles. His name's Marty. And he's originally from Colorado, but he's moved here full time, and I was supposed to get him out a month ago, and believe it or not, what saved the day was silver trout.
It can happen. So it sounds like you went a little deeper.
One location I go, the silver trout are right on the way back in, so he enjoyed that so much, we stayed out there and sweated so he could catch those for like an hour, but they're right in there, and there's a bunch of them. They're actually, on his day, they were big. For silver trout, they're normally a little smaller in that location, but he had a good time doing that. He did catch probably about 10 speckled trout earlier. We didn't try for anything else. The places where fishing was easy a couple days earlier, it was just not that good.
And that's kind of what I've been noticing, too. I've kind of been talking to clients, and, you know, normally we've got a pretty good idle from the dock out, so I normally do my little couple-minute spiel and kind of do a little fishing report and kind of sort of what to kind of expect for the day. And generally that's kind of the way it goes is day to day, it's just been changing.
Yeah.
You know, one day you have, you know, a banner day of fishing, the next day you really struggle. And it's just something that everybody goes through.
I told him what was surprising to me, it was tough action. I stuck my hand down the water and I said, that's not as warm as this water is going to get, so I'm surprised these fish are so unhappy.
Yeah, I've been marking 92 to 93 degree water, no problem.
Where we were
by 9:30, 10 o'clock, you're seeing 90 degree water.
Yeah, where we were closer to the Gulf of Mexico, I would say that water was mid 80s.
Yeah,
it was fresh in from the Gulf, and it was not that bad. But I would say the fish are feeling it. I'm feeling it if I'm outside for very long.
Yeah,
at the pub, we sit outside and There's times where I go back inside and I sit inside.
Oh, I know. We're coming off of 4th of July weekend here, and I ran trips all through the holidays, and we went to a party. A friend of ours had a little gathering Saturday or Sunday night, and, you know, it was like an outdoor thing, live band, horseshoes, cornhole.
Yeah.
I'm, like, sitting in the couch in the air condition watching the baseball game because I couldn't wing it, man. So I kind of waited till the sun went down before I went out there because I told him, I said, I've already sweated two or three different sessions today. I said, I'm kind of over it. But it's just the humidity. You know, I can handle the quote-unquote heat. But when you got to change your shirt three or four times throughout the day.
Well, I'm from Arizona. In Arizona, if you're in the shade, comfortable.
Yeah.
You got the sun hitting you, then you're feeling it. But in Florida, the difference is you walk outside, you're in the shade, you're in the sun. It doesn't matter. That humidity's got you.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the fishing was good. The one thing I have not had come through, I have not had the request to take the Pompano and Black Drum trips. So I haven't done that in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And usually I'm doing two or three trips like those a week. So the Pompano fishing is sketchy. We've had two trips where we got on Pompano good, and then we had other trips where we didn't get on them that good. Pompano fishing has not really been consistent for about 3 years. Last year was a total failure. This year we're hoping for better results because the FWC got on the poachers down south. And while the Pompano fishing is better, we have not gotten on them really good yet. But July is usually the time it happens, and we get a lot more Pompano climbing the bay, and they get easy to catch. So I'm hoping that's something that, you know, comes about and we get into more consistent Pompano. They could be there, and I just haven't been out there to try them.
Right, right.
Other friends of mine that do it, Lee goes by Aquaholic on the Captain Mel forums. He's on them spotty. That's kind of where I got my report from last week was from him. So there are some Pompano being caught, but no one's catching them in great consistency yet.
Gotcha. How about, I know, you know, for me inside the bay and fishing on some of the artificial reefs and some of the rock ledges and channel ledges, we normally get a pretty good snapper bite this year. And we've been pretty lucky on chumming up some good schools of snapper. Been a little tough getting them to bite. Jason and I talked about it on the last episode in terms of water clarity is, I think, one of the things that was kind of getting us. And I didn't know if that was something that when you're Pompano fishing or when you're Black Drum fishing, is that something that you start to see or that you start to catch this time of year?
What I can tell you about mangrove snapper, my brother and nephew, they will catch baits and they will go snapper fishing. So snapper fishing is something you do with bait.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't baited a hook in almost 3 years.
I know the reason I ask is because one of the places that I Pompano fish, a lot of times when we're using silly willies or when we're jigging those pylons, a lot of times we'll end up picking up some mangrove snapper. And I didn't know if that was something that was consistent enough to maybe target in your area.
Not on the lures. You'll catch one or two per trip.
Every now and again.
They're usually small.
Yeah.
The bigger ones are not that good to trick on the jigs, but you'll catch a couple of the smaller ones. But the snapper, my brother and nephew, they went snapper fishing about 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
They got a limit of snapper in an hour.
Yeah. It's been pretty good. We've seen some big fish. We've seen a lot of fish. Like I said, it was a little tough for us last week getting some of these schools and these rock ledges that we're fishing on just to get them to eat.
Sure.
But I think it's only a matter of time. Especially coming up, we're going to do tides and weather in a minute, but we're coming up on this new moon. We're just coming off of it. By the time this airs, I want to say new moon is tonight, which would be Wednesday night, Neil. But so that normally leads to some good fishing. We're gonna get some good tides and get some good water moving around.
Sure.
Hopefully get some of these schooling fish that we should see this time of year. Hopefully get them in the right spot and ready to eat. So something we're looking forward to.
Yep, the snapper fishing should be solid the rest of the summer. My brother and nephew's indicator, there was a lot of them. They were good size. They're actually doing that on foot.
Okay.
They can cast to some deeper structure. It's not a structure that's that well known. I should probably take you there someday so you can take your clients to it. So snapper should be pretty consistent. Hopefully pompano get even better. The black drum thing, which is kind of a specialty item to have your picture taken with a big fish.
Sure.
That's something that's definitely an option.
Yeah, they're really cool, man. Some of the bigger black drum that I've caught kind of hold a special place in my photo album. But just such a cool fish. Big, you know, giant, docile fish, really. And they make really neat photos, especially if you're just wanting to get a photo of a big fish and have a good time pulling in something like a school bus.
Right.
They're a little bit more consistent than the tarpon. The tarpon are a little more sensitive, but definitely a really cool fish to target, man.
Yeah. Speckled trout fishing's still been decent. It's slowed down somewhat. We're still able to catch a lot of the smaller ones. Bigger trout are probably best approached at night. Your best results are going to be in the middle of the night to find a big trout. Red fishing, we have a decent bite of redfish in one location. All the other places I normally run into them, just not seeing them.
Yeah, we've had a tough time with red, not necessarily a tough time, but we've been live bait fishing, and a lot of the redfish that we have gotten on those slack tides or on some of those higher tides, we'll end up cut baiting up under the bushes, and that's how we're getting most of our redfish is on cut bait. So,
are you catching quite a few?
We're catching them here and there, Spotty. I've been doing a lot of bay fishing, so it's kind of tough to really get a good feel on where they're at. It's almost like I fish one or two days inshore, and then I'm two or three days out in the bay. And so, you know, this time of year, the fish are kind of moving around quite a bit. We've got some strong tides that will move them out on these new moon tides, these hill tides, and sometimes they don't always end up back in that same exact area that they were. So a couple days inshore, I can normally track them down and get on them pretty good. But the cut bait's definitely been the key to success in that.
And not a bad option this time of year. Well, that's going to bring us up to our first break. When we get back, it'll be more with me, Neil Taylor, and Captain Travis. We will be right back.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing conditions. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Friello. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit Geico.com today.
Hey,
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
All right, segment two of the show. Travis already alluded to it. We are on the full moon tides, and or we are on the new moon tides.
New mooners.
And I've been looking forward to this. It's new moon tides in July are going to be your best opportunity that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not have a loaded schedule. I got a couple of trips, but I expect them to go as well as they're going to for the next month in these next 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, this is a time of year that, me particularly, I really look forward to fishing. I do late season tarpon trips, and I've been watching these fish and fishing these fish. They've been kind of moving their way in over the last month, really, into a couple different locations, and they've been spotty as far as getting them to eat. But normally in July, particularly after this first new moon, they really fire off, and they tend to chew for the next couple weeks. So that's something we're really excited to do. I've got a number of trips lined up to do quick tarpon trips. Normally it's a first light thing or a late evening thing. Me in particular, just to kind of throw a little report in there, the outgoing tide, new moon, you know, or we're just coming off the full moon, but the hill tide wasn't quite as good as I had expected it. I don't really know why. We had some weird little tropical, not really different storms, but just little fronts that kind of came through, mainly in the afternoon, and I don't know if maybe that had something to do with it. We've had some west wind, and particularly with tarpon, I know they like to nose in the wind, and sometimes they'll push out into some deeper water, out into some of the deeper channels where they haven't been. So I don't know if that's attributed to it, but for me personally, the outgoing tides later in the afternoon are historically, you know, jam up for tarpon. We get some crabs flushing out. All the water from the flat dumps out. Normally you get a great concentration of threadfin, you know, pods and large schools of glass minnows out there. We actually were fishing inside the bay on a charter 2 or 3 days ago and weren't seeing quite that many rolling fish, and so we decided to kind of head out towards Egmont area. And as we approached the Skyway Bridge, the amount of threadfins at the Skyway about three quarters of the way through this last hill tide was epic. I mean, from the south end of the bridge to the north end of the bridge, you could walk on the thread fins. I mean, yeah. It was just loaded. Pelicans diving, porpoises, but for some reason for us, we didn't see any tarpon, and we ended up just kind of scrounging around and got on some fish at the end of the day, but not typical for what I would consider, and so kind of hopeful and excited to see what July brings, which in my books tends to be a little bit better fishing and kind of when I would normally kind of bank on those trips, so
right.
I'm looking forward to that.
In general, for me, middle of summer fishing like this, I am fishing mostly incoming tides,
mm-hmm.
and it's intentional. You will find fishing outgoing water, especially if you're fishing the shallows, what Travis has talked about, more open water stuff for tarpon. But a lot of the stuff what you're doing, if you're an inshore fisherman, if you have an outgoing tide, that water is usually the hottest water you're going to encounter.
I agree.
That's all the superheated water from the shallows that the sun has beaten down on and heated up. It may be the most unlikely time for fish to feed when they have nothing but hot water flowing around them. The reverse on an incoming tide, and you have water that's coming in from the Gulf that may be more mixed. Water's probably a little cooler. It might have a little more oxygen in it. There just might be a better situation to have happier fish on an incoming tide, July, August, September.
I would agree, and that's kind of where I was going. As far as the hill tides, and even, like you said, we're out fishing in some deeper water. We're in, you know, anywhere from 12 to 42, 43 feet of water. So
yeah.
It's a little different. But what we have found is the morning bite has definitely been superior to the late you know, outgoing hill tides in the afternoon, which, like I said, generally would be either equal or maybe even a little bit better on the outgoing hill tide for tarpon in particular.
Right.
But I think because we have seen some pretty hot water temperatures and some really nice mornings to boot, so a lot of the last week's sunrises were beautiful. Nice calm mornings, and so
I'll tell you what's really nice.
And we did well.
I snapped awake way too early one morning, so I couldn't stand there. The news wasn't even on yet. I woke up so early. So I left, and I went and got my ice, and I got my coffee, and I got down there to the launch, and I got out. It's 4 o'clock in the morning,
And
I was like, wow, is this comfortable right now?
It is.
And even the difference, it's another hour and a half later, and the sun's not even up yet. It was getting warmer before the sun was even up.
Yeah.
But at 4 in the morning, it was feeling pretty nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I enjoy, you know, late fishing late, and Jason and I kind of go back and forth on it. And I don't have a problem with it, especially now when I trailered my charter boat. It was a little different because you always had to bounce around and find a ramp or find some place that was going to be open for you to get out or get in. Having the boat at Little Harbor for me on a floating dock has really made it a lot more accessible for me to run a quick trip.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, especially if I've got bait, it makes it really nice to be able to get out and fish in the evening time or push that late tarpon trip into 8, 9, 10, you know, sometimes even 11 o'clock, depending on what we're doing and what the weather conditions are like. But that's made it kind of nice, and I enjoy – I'm a late night kind of guy anyway,
yeah.
Or vice versa, or early morning. So the wee hours of the night don't bother me a bit, and sometimes, believe it or not, it's actually pretty peaceful out there and a nice time to fish. So
yeah.
Never knock it if you're one of those kind of guys and you're interested in a trip like that. Give me a call. You can give me a call. Hit me up on the cell phone, 813-830-3474. Or you can check me out on Facebook, Instagram, Instinct Fishing Co. What about you, Neil? What if we want to get out and do some kayak fishing, man? How do we get a hold of you?
Yeah, you could livelubates@AOL is my email address. My phone number 727-692-6345. And I like people to send me an email and tell me what they have in mind, and then I can look at tides and I can give them good suggestions. But, you know, we could get on the phone, too. It's no problem to talk it over on the phone.
Good deal. That's kind of how I do mine, too, man. I don't like to just book, and, you know, I like to make every trip somewhat catered to what you're looking for, and that's what I've always talked about, too, is really understanding your client's expectations of what they want out of a trip. I think all of us, at least here on the show, definitely do that, so...
Right.
Give us a call if you're looking out. Get with a professional. It's one of the best ways to learn how to get around in the bay, how to fish.
It's an investment in your fishing future. If you want to be better at fishing, there's no better way than to hire people that know how to do it best and learn from them.
100%.
So I went to a baseball game last week. First time in 5 years. So one of our show listeners is my former chief instructor at umpire school, and he's now a major league umpire supervisor. And he was in the locker room. I actually didn't go to the game. I just went to the locker room after the game. So he came out, and I said who I was. He goes, oh, yeah, I read your articles in the paper, and I catch your radio show now and again. So
nice. Well, we appreciate him listening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to, you know. It made me feel good. I've been out of baseball 12 years now. It's good that some of the fellas still pay attention to what I'm doing. And it was, quite honestly, it was fun to be in a locker room again. I hadn't done that in 5 years. And two of the four guys on that umpire crew called me chief.
Nice.
So those are guys that they were young guys on my crews when I was senior man in the minor leagues. And it was good to see those guys made it. And we had a good visit. They had a long game. I was sitting out there smoking cigars with the security guys. And they had the game on little TVs out there. I was like, the game was like an 8-run game. I go, they can't even play out a fast 8-run wide open game. They go, well, it's the Red Sox. And I go, oh, yeah. I said, it's also the Neil Taylor jinx whenever I come to a game. It's a dismally slow game.
Oh, yeah. Me and the wife actually went to one when they... When we hosted Boston first game, when we smoked them. I think it was like 13 or 14 to like 7 or something like that.
That was similar to the score of my night. I went on Monday.
They crushed them. It might have been
that
a Monday.
That might have been the same night.
It might have been the opening night or the night we host the it first a, game we hosted Boston.
John wanted me to come early in the series, and that might have been the first game of the series. It probably was, and that was on a Monday.
Yeah, and I historically am like the Rays' bad luck charm. My wife is like the cowbell.
Well, they lost.
The cowbell queen.
They lost 12 in a row at that point. That was their first win in almost 2 weeks.
Well, then that must have been the same game. We were at the same game then.
Yeah.
Had to have been. Well, that's cool, man. I don't know where we're at here. I think we're about to run out of time.
Yeah, we're.
He just kind of stepped out on us.
Yeah.
He's rolling around.
Yeah, he's got it right on. We're at the 2 minute mark.
We're
now,
on two.
So.
We're on two.
So, how much you have going this week?
It's this week actually. You know, I'm stacked up pretty good. Like I said, I've been tarpon fishing and something that I've been looking forward to, and so we're booked up pretty good. Looking forward to getting in now next week. Guys, real quick, Neil's going to have Skyway Fishing Pier guys in.
Paul Bristow.
And we're going to talk about that. Jason and I are going to be absent, and we'll be over at ICAST. So we're going to be digging around some new products and new things we see, and then what we'll do is following week we'll come back and give you guys the report on.
I am not going to ICAST, and a lot of people keep asking me, am I going to see you over there? No, I'm not going this year. Don't feel like it. I toured it pretty well last year, and I don't feel like I need to go every stinking year.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, me and Jason are going to go rub shoulders and hopefully make it back to Tampa. I know there's a few after parties that we're probably going to attend, but looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing what they got new and showing you guys, so...
And as Travis said, I will have Paul Bristow on next week's show. So that'll be a good one. Paul is everything about Skyway Pier fishing. He works at the piers. He pays attention to what people are doing out there. He does a little fishing himself there. So Paul is always a good guest. I've had him on here one other time. And then, you know, I read his reports he sends every Friday. So I've been sharing Skyway Pier information on this show since I've been on it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, that will bring us up to break number two. When we get back, Travis has already claimed to come on,
man. I'm ready.
And,
I can't even wait for the break. I'm just, like, itching here.
So we'll be right back after these messages, and when we do, Captain Travis will jump on the come on, man, and we will continue more Fish Talk Radio right here on Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584. The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And we're back, segment three of the show. Travis, take it. You got the Come On Man. I'm excited
my goodness,
to hear because
I've been itching for this one.
He has exuberance about this.
Yeah, and there's
come
not many
man.
Days where I'm driving to the studio and I'm going, you know, normally I try to think, I'm like, man, you know, I got a pretty good Come On Man. Like, you know, throughout the week, you kind of push them back, and that might be a good one. That might be. Well, it hit me the other day, and I almost got the phone out to record it. It was so kind of epic. But basically, like I said, I've been tarpon fishing. And so inside of Tampa Bay, tarpon fishing is a little bit different than what most people are used to. A lot of guys see Boca Grand Pass. They see Bean Point. They see Egmont Key. And the way we tarpon fish inside the bay can be similar, but it's also very different. And the way we fish in the bay, most of the places, you're fishing near shipping channels, or you're fishing off islands and some flats that these tarpon would get up in. Well, this particular day, we were fishing the edge of a channel, and me and my clients were anchored up to the east of another charter boat. I believe he was a St. Pete guy. I've been trying to figure out who he was just so I can have a friendly conversation.
Right.
And so anyhow, we were fishing a little bit east of him, and bite was pretty slow, so we pulled anchor. And basically, one of the techniques in this area, you can actually kind of idle around and look for rolling tarpon. There's a pretty good stretch of channel that these tarpon will get in. They'll basically run, you know, all the way up and down the channel. It's the better part of a mile. So we start idling down the channel. Well, I see this boat hook up. Well, they end up hooking up, and one of their fish starts running towards the channel. We're still well within, you know, 100 yards away from even where I saw the tarpon jump. So I just kind of keep idling, and I'm looking to see if maybe there's another pot of fish or rolling fish, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he ends up throwing another bait, hooking up another fish. Well, he ends up throwing another bait and hooking up another fish. Now he's got three tarpon on, and he's still on his anchor. So I kind of idle around, and I'm idling, you know, due west of the guy, and he's not coming off anchor. Well, about that time, he jumps on the front of the boat, just hollering, yeah, yeah, yelling at me like I'm supposed to do something or yeah, like I'm in the way. Well, I kind of pulled around to the side because it was in an area where I knew these fish were going to kind of come through. So I went off to the side and I anchored up, and I'm sitting there just kind of frustrated. It's that point where when somebody's yelling at you because they think you're doing something wrong, but at the end of the day, it's really them, you know, and it's just a weird. I didn't holler back. I kept my cool, and I anchored up, and I looked at my clients, and I said, they've got three tarpon on. Do you guys see that? He goes, yeah. I go, I'll guarantee you that they will not land a single one of those tarpon.
Yep.
And he goes, well, how do you know that? I said, just watch. Watch what I'm telling you. So we throw baits out. There goes number one. There goes number two. And there goes number three. Lost every one of the tarpon. And I called it from the get-go. And when the guy started yelling at me, what I yelled back to him was, get off your anchor. Get off your anchor. He was sitting in and anchored up in about 15 feet of water. Literally, you know, 25 yards away from him was a 40 to 42-foot channel.
Yeah.
Those fish, when they get hooked, go straight to the 40-foot channel, okay? There's a significant difference between 40 feet and 12 feet.
Yeah.
Once those fish sound, they're going to break the line off. So out of all this, I mean, the guy was about to have a heart attack. Come on, man. All I was trying to do was help you out. If you come off your anchor and you get on top of that fish, you're going to catch him. We had just landed a 150-pounder before he even showed up to the game. And yeah. I was actually coming back to anchor back up where I was. And that's kind of how it took place. So he's my come-on man. And the kind of guy I am, as mad as I was, all I wanted to do was drive over out of my truck. All I wanted to do was drive over there and tell him, hey, man, you just ruined those clients' trips because you were an idiot and you didn't know what you were doing.
Yep.
And all you had to do was come off your anchor instead of being worried about what I was doing and manage your fish. And so with that, I'm going to lead to not necessarily a captain's tip of the week, but it's something that I'm sort of passionate about because I've spent a lot of time out there tarpon fishing, done a lot of things right and done a lot of things wrong. And when you get upset at somebody else and you think you're doing something right, and you don't know, it's just very irritating to the guy that does know what he's doing, particularly when he's maybe trying to help you out. But when you're fishing these channels, guys, and you're catching big fish and you're fishing on the edges of the channels, the fish are going to go to the deep water. And if you're not off your anchor and on top of that fish, the difference between 40 feet and 12 feet is going to break your line every time. Every single time. It doesn't matter if it's a 60-pound fish. He's going to sound, he's going to break your line. And you'll know because your main line will break. When you start breaking your main line on a tarpon rig that's got 6 foot of, say, 60 to 80-pound
fluorocarbon and you're breaking 15, 20 feet up on your main line, they're breaking
you
off on the ledge.
They're scratching on structure. That's the same with black drum fishing.
And, you know, and it's just, I can't express, I'm calm now, but I was so hot and so irritated. Not only did he jump three fish for really no reason, because, quite frankly, you're not going to land three fish, not in that area. And just the way his presence was, the way he acted in front of his clients, the way the whole situation took place was just not professional and not needed. And so, for me, he's my come-on man. And I just, I've actually asked three or four captains if I could find out who he was, just so I could talk to him and educate him and say, look, man, hook one fish, get off the anchor, land the fish. Yeah, you can sit there and keep hooking them because they're going to keep coming through, but you're never going to land one, and you're not doing your clients justice.
Was he a guide?
Yeah, he was out there on a guided trip, and like I said, I'm still trying to find out the guy's name. And if anybody knows me, I'm not the kind of person to bash anybody, really. And it's not the kind of the intent of what I'm trying to do here, but what I'm trying to do is not only educate you guys, the listeners, but I want to try to get a hold of this guy and make an example of him, because those clients would have had an epic day. There was plenty of tarpon around, and I watched him for over an hour after that. I ended up moving out, going on some different fish.
Yeah.
But I watched him sit up there and probably do it two or three more times. And the poor people that were on his boat that paid for that tarpon trip, I guarantee you never touched one. And, you know, sticking hooks in five, six, seven fish, you know, when there's not a lot of them around, it hurts everybody.
Yeah.
So that's my come on man, Neil. Sorry to ramble, brother.
That's okay. I will handle the come on man next week.
But anyway, so, you know, but tarpon's stressful. Tarpon's stressful. Anytime you're out there fishing for those fish, it can be stressful, especially when you get some other folks around and what you would consider not doing the normal thing or the I don't want to say right or wrong, because nobody's really right or wrong, but you can really kind of mess up a couple people if you're not doing the right things, and that's where all these confrontations kind of boil up. But other than that, I wish the guy better luck. I hope he tunes into the radio show and realizes that for about $30 you can get an anchor ball.
Yeah.
Put it on the end of your anchor line. Come on, man.
Do something. Learn how to do it.
Do something. Do something, man.
Yeah, I had plenty of opportunities to cover the Come On Man segment myself because, boy, I was out on the water. I was out on the water every day for like 10 days, and with the holiday weekend, and that Friday may as well have been a Saturday, there was a bunch of knuckleheads out there. I mean, there was people where it's... I told one guy, I go, you need to put that boat back on the trailer, and you need to put the trailer in your backyard. You need to not touch it for about 5 years.
You know it's bad when the guys start trolling the flats with, like, beetle spins and spoons?
Yeah.
It's bad.
It was a knucklehead festival. There was a whole bunch of them. There were boats bumping into each other. That's how bad it was.
I know. We actually, for the first time, I was actually... I've had my daughter on the boat one time before, but I actually took Monday the 4th, the actual 4th, the holiday off, and went out on the boat for a little bit. And for the first time, and since I can't remember, I pulled my boat off the dock without a fishing pole. And it was a pretty neat experience, to say the least. But we went around and got on a little sandbar that I know about, and my parents actually met us out there, and we let the baby play around the water for a little bit, and it was actually a really nice day. The 4th was sort of overcast.
Right.
It wasn't super, super hot, so it was like perfect day to kind of lounge around the water. But other than that, you know, yeah, it was pretty populated on the South Shores throughout the weekend.
So. We've had a few of those overcast mornings, which has been nice.
Yeah.
The sun not beating on you. We had like, I'd say 3 out of 4 days where... the sun was blocked, and it made it a little nicer.
Yes, it does.
I hope that's a trend.
Tell me about it.
I hope heavy rains remain a trend, too. You get some cloudiness, helps the water temperature a little. You get heavy rains, it can help the water temperature a little bit. So It's summertime, though.
It is, man. A little bit of rain, that's one thing we were talking about. A little bit of rain might help out some of these river systems and the mouths of some of these river systems that we generally will do pretty good in when this gets kind of hot water. So I'm looking forward to some rain, too.
And we should get it. Now we're in the crux of it. We should be in the rainy season for the next two full months. We should see a lot of it. But that's going to bring us up our last break of the show. Again, our official website, capmel.com, a great resource. I am posting about 4 to 6 new articles per day on there. The forums are picking up a little, so we're going to come back after these messages, and we will have our final segment of the show. Catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Okay, here we go, people.
This is The Herd.
Where are you again?
With Colin Cowherd.
I got a football topic. I like this. Adele is a great singer, and she has had some vocal issues. She should not waste the high notes in rehearsal. Don't waste them. Adrian Peterson came out yesterday and said, quote, OTAs and all that, it's definitely going to be a deciding factor for me. Physically, I'm good. It's just mentally, it's so repetitive. It's more suited to the young guys. It gets kind of boring. And the Sporting News has a former NFL GM named Jeff Diamond, former GM of the Titans, who came out and just destroyed Adrian Peterson. Let me take Adrian Peterson's side on this. Adrian, you don't waste a carry in the preseason. J.J. Watt, Tom Brady, Cam Newton, Richard Sherman, stay home and watch movies. I don't want to see you near the field in preseason.
This is The Herd.
Sports Talk, 1040 The Team, weekdays from 3 to 6.
I leave the radio on constantly.
Sports Talk, 1040 The Team.
We have you covered all week long.
Hi, I'm Dan Patrick. Glad to be back in Tampa Bay, weekdays, 9 a.m.
Here's Sports Talk, 1040 The Team, Tampa Bay. Powered by NBC Sports.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1040, The Team, the home of Jim Rome, weekdays from noon till 3.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by Powerpole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to powerpole.com.
All right, Travis, final segment of the show.
There it is, man. Drum roll, please.
This is the sound effect segment of the show. So, yeah, Travis and I have been talking current events in fishing, and one you guys covered last week I wasn't in on was the situation. The guys got a hold of a tarpon of the boat, and the shark came and ate it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's good you brought that up, Neil. What's your...
My take on it, and people were surprised. And I said, you know, sharks eat tarpon.
Right.
And I said, I wasn't there. I don't know. Maybe they didn't even know there was a shark bearing down. And I said, yeah, if they knew there was a shark there, they should have let it go, even if that fish was still hooked, and give it a chance to escape. But I go, I wasn't there, I don't know the guy.
Right.
So I couldn't really judge on it, but I'll tell you, you post a video like that, you're probably going to take some heat.
That's where I think it went polar or viral. I mean, because when I say polar, it was like you're either one side completely or your other side completely.
Oh, that's surprised. There's,
you know, there was no like, eh. It was either you were like totally against the guy or you were.
There's these people I know
in total support of what took place.
There's these people I consider the most fair people I've ever known, and man, they were just livid
hammering,
and mad.
And that's what was so interesting was that people were so polarized in their opinion on what took place, and it really made for an outrage of just randomness, really, because a guy that had worked a long time to build what I would consider, and I know him, I wouldn't say personally, but throughout tournament fishing, we've rubbed shoulders, and obviously I've had, you know, general conversations with the guy and whatnot, and he's well known and had a pretty good tournament career, not only with tarpon but redfish, which a lot of people don't know. But it was just an unfortunate event that people that really have no position, no power per se, but have the most powerful voice in a group, and that's kind of what took place, man. Was that it just got bombarded to a state that people that didn't even have a clue about a tarpon or a shark or Boca Grande were making comments, you know, kill the guy, cut his legs off, throw him to the sharks.
That's,
I mean,
no
come
good.
On. You know,
nah, not, you
that
know,
should have been part of the come on, man.
I probably,
you know, it was just, come on, man.
I probably watched the video 5 times.
Yeah.
And I still haven't made up my mind.
Well, and one of the things I mentioned to Jason was if you turn the volume down and you watch the video, it's a lot less, not necessarily violent, but it's a lot, you perceive the video different. I think the context in which they're laughing about it and kind of here comes the shark and kind of joking around about it a little more than probably what they should have, I think that was what really slides the dagger in terms of, you know, if you already think it's a little weird or you're not really in agreement with it, once you hear the context and the demeanor of the people involved in the video, I think that really tips you over the edge. And I think that's what, to me,
I didn't even,
you know,
I didn't. I keep the volume down on my computer, and that was an error because I didn't even realize there was volume
there
with
is.
It.
And that's kind of, when you mentioned, you said they didn't know what shark was, they were basically like, look at them all. Look at all the sharks down there. He's about to get him. And that's kind of the context of the video, and so when you look at it on one end, you go, wow. And you look at it on the other end, you go, well, we know as tarpon fishermen and guides that, quite frankly, it happens. A
right.
lot of sharks eat tarpon. It's just part of it. That's why they're in Boca Grande Pass.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there to hang out and wait for fishing guides to feed them tarpon. If we weren't there, they'd still be eating tarpon. And, in fact, it's kind of another current event. A local fishing guide here in Tampa showed and posted and shared a video, Captain Rob Gorda, of a tarpon getting chased by a hammerhead shark. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
And
the free jumping one?
Yeah, the one that jumped in his boat trying to get away from a tarpon.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one, too.
That they didn't have on a hook.
Yeah.
They were tarpon fishing, but the fish wasn't hooked up. It free jumped into the boat after the shark was chasing it, bounced around for a little bit, bounced out, and the shark ended up getting it. So that, to me, I thought was pretty interesting, the way that the one video one week showed it in one context, and the next video showed it and kind of not necessarily justified what took place the week before, but definitely gave an example of what's really happening in the wild with these fish.
It was probably 2 full weeks earlier, and here's one I don't get, and I ripped someone for it. And I wasn't so much ripping them as I was challenging them, but got a tarpon that's been chopped up by sharks, and here's these 5 guys that are holding the what's left of the tarpon.
For a picture.
And every one of them smiling ear to ear.
Yeah.
If I was the one that did that, and I never lost a tarpon to a shark.
Right.
I'd had sharks pop up, and I threw it in free spool, and I let that tarpon get out of there, and then I grabbed the spool and popped the line.
Right.
And I would say those tarpon survived, but to sit there and smile about it, that you liked it, that your tarpon was eaten by a shark, I think you're a little bit screwed up in the head. It was your activity that caused that shark to have a better opportunity to attack that tarpon, and you're going to smile about causing the death of a 50-year-old fish?
Right.
That doesn't sit well with me.
Right.
And I'll tell people every time I see it that I don't like it.
Yep.
It just bothers me.
And I would agree with that as well. You know, I definitely don't condone that activity in terms of purposely trying to, not necessarily feed, but like you said, give the advantage to another predator.
Right.
When, you know, under what you're doing is basically causing them to come after that fish. I mean, you're basically provoking that shark to come do it, and so, or to come eat that fish. And so, I can agree with that and would probably voice the same opinion in terms of what you're saying there. So.
Right.
But, other than the shark videos and tarpon videos, we kind of touched base on it earlier in the first segment, but Jason and I are going to ICAST. That's coming up. And for a lot of people that don't know about what ICAST is, and Neil, I'll probably have you follow up on this too and make sure I'm saying it right, but it's basically where people from and manufacturers from all over the world in the fishing industry show up for a handful of days, three days, and put on kind of like a reveal expo, the way I look at it, where they try to highlight and promote their new products, innovative ideas in the fishing industry. You can rub shoulders with some high up, you know, people in the fishing community, fishing industry, a lot of top name guides, a lot of pros.
Yeah.
So we're pretty excited to go over there. We're going to be attending via the Florida Guides Association. So that ought to be pretty interesting and a good opportunity. It's a little tougher to get in this year than in years past. And so we were fortunate the Florida Guides Association has the ability to get us in there and go walk around and rub shoulders with some
most of my sponsors offered to get me in.
Yeah.
And I just didn't feel like it. It is the industry show, like Travis was explaining, and basically, if you're serious about the fishing industry and you're not at ICAST, it's a wasted opportunity because, you know, you are at ICAST, you're definitely someone that's on the radar.
Right.
And it's definitely something that's good for the growth of your business. But, you get a huge segment of it is the industry people, all the vendors that are various sponsors that we have and other companies that sell marine products. And then there's the other segment of people that are the equipment users, the equipment buyers.
Right.
So my contacts at Bill Jackson, they'll send almost every employee of their store over there.
Sure.
To look at different stuff,
and it's a big show too. It's not just inshore fishing, offshore fishing. It's the whole kit and caboodle. If it has anything to do with fishing and outdoor, there's some outdoor products there too that they kind of on the outer realm of things.
Sure,
cameras and batteries and you know some of the new technology, marine technology stuff that should be there. So. Really looking forward to that. We're going to take some notes and hopefully bring you guys some really cool information on some products that will be coming out and maybe help you be a better fisherman.
Yeah, you guys will see some neat stuff over there, so it will be very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see what you guys have to talk about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to go over and stay for a night. I think we're going to show up opening day and stay through the... It'll be Wednesday to Thursday, the 13th and 14th, so we appreciate Neil. He's going to be in the studio hanging out, kind of covering for us next week. And
quite all right.
We will have a jam-packed episode the following week, try to get it all in there and bring you guys up to speed.
So. There you have it. So, yeah, enjoy our podcasts. I post on CaptainMel.com. You can sign up, Podomatic.com. Find our radio show, sign up for it. You can automatically get them emailed to you. And I post them on the forums on CaptainMel.com. Not everyone gets a chance to listen to the show live, so we have a huge following on podcast.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. I get a lot of random, you know, like you said, it's a humbling experience when you walk down the dock or something. Someone goes, "Hey, you're so and so. I heard you on the radio," you know. And it's kind of nice, and we appreciate everybody listening into us, and definitely want any kind of feedback too. If you guys aren't following us, you can check us out on Facebook. That's Facebook slash
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio. If you got any questions, you can hit us up there. Send us a message. Write a post on our page there, and either Neil, Jason, or myself will get back to you. And if it's something we can answer publicly, we'll do it. If not, we'll give you a shout and talk to you personally. So we're definitely open to hearing back from you guys and making sure that we're bringing you the information you want to hear. So definitely keep up with us and let us know how we're doing.
Sounds good, Travis. And next week we have Paul Bristow from the Skyway Piers. The following week it will be Jason and Captain Travis doing the ICAST review. That wraps it up for this week's show. So everyone, happy fishing out there, and we will catch you next week.
High lines, guys.
Across the field where the creek turns bad by the old stumble road. I'm gonna take it to a special place that nobody